Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is November 14th, 2018. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 25,080, the NASDAQ at 71.36, and the S&P at 27.01. Our topic tonight is Social Security considerations. So I thought I'd just talk a little bit in some broad terms about Social Security, what people should be thinking about, especially people who are turning 66 in 2019. And I'll tell you more about that as we go through the show. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information. She'll have to write down the question and bring it in to me. So you can't talk live with me this evening, but you can still ask questions and I will answer them live this evening. So if you think of a question, you call in 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Lori C will write it down and bring it into the studio, and I'll do my best to answer. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. Email is also available through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So the number, 610-758-8810. So as I said, I want to talk about Social Security, some awareness around it, around options that people have, kind of give you a little bit of education around it. I'm referencing several resources I have. I use a site called Savvy Social Security through Horse's Mouth. It's pretty good. Gives us lots of information. And because this is a complicated subject, so it helps to have resources that we can use and helps us do some calculations for people when we're looking at Social Security claiming options. So I'm going to reference some of that material this evening as I go through this as well. So I want to give them props on that. What I want to look at and cover is what is Social Security, income subject to Social Security while you're working, what are the benefits, how do you become eligible, filing ages, and why those filing ages are important, impact on filing early, strategies to use, just to be aware of them. I can't get into everything. In fact, this is such an in-depth topic, folks, that I am not going to be able to cover everything tonight, but it's mainly about awareness. And I really want people, again, especially those who are turning 66 in 2019, to really kind of pay attention tonight. So we also want to talk a little bit about, to that effect, something called a restricted application when we have couples, husbands and wives, and a little bit how benefits are taxed. So as we go through this, let's start with what is Social Security, because sometimes people might not understand exactly what that is. And Social Security was established in 1935 to alleviate poverty among the elderly during the Great Depression. It was created as a self-financing program that would collect payroll taxes from workers, which would immediately be paid out in benefits to retirees. Millions of Americans depend on Social Security. For many, it is their primary source of retirement income. For others, it's an important supplement to pensions and personal savings. So this is something important to remember. It was started in 1935 to alleviate poverty. And many people today do rely on Social Security as their only source of income. And if you do so, that could be quite tight. So for, you know, probably decades now, you've heard you should be saving outside of Social Security. You shouldn't just rely on that for your cash flow needs. You need to be good savers while you're working, have retirement accounts. But one of the other things that has happened since then is people also used to get pensions. So they would have pensions. The Social Security was maybe a supplement to that. Well, now so many people no longer have pensions because the retirement, you know, world migrated to 401ks, 403bs, where instead of your employer putting away money for you, whereby you would get a defined benefit, which is a pension, a defined benefit, they pay you X amount per month, similar to Social Security, but it was coming from your employer. That's gone by the wayside. And then the employers elected to start putting money into a, like kind of a self-directed retirement savings. So they were putting more of the power in the hands of the employee, so to speak. And so to speak, it is. So the employees may or may not be putting money into those retirement accounts. The employers may be putting money into the retirement accounts as an employer contribution. Some employers only do it if the employee does. That's called an employer match. So there's been a whole evolution on how people will fund their retirement in their retirement years through these different sources, whether it's Social Security, pensions, 401ks. So Social Security is just really another tool. A lot of people rely on it, and that's the caution that they will tell you. It was never expected that Social Security was actually going to fund your retirement completely. So don't expect that. And how do we get Social Security? Well, while we work, we put money into the system through payroll deduction. So how do you become eligible? You become eligible for Social Security by working, and you have to do that for at least 10 years. To be more precise, you need 40 credits. You can earn up to 4 credits in a year by earning a certain minimum dollar amount. If you earn 4 credits each year for 10 years, you accumulate 40 credits necessary to be fully insured and achieve basic eligibility. That also becomes important when people might, you know, qualify for disability and things like that. So it's probably always a good idea to, if you're capable of working, to start earning those credits probably sooner than later. The calculation and how the retirement benefit is calculated is complicated. And what happens is there's a greater percent of your earnings that go into that calculation at a lower level. And then as you have more earnings, less of it counts. And then over a certain threshold, it's not counted. When we look at the maximum wages subject to Social Security tax, that's why there's kind of a cap on it. That has continues to go up every year, whether it's inflation or some formula, I'm not sure. Every year, the maximum wages subject to Social Security goes up. So sometimes as you're getting raises, you're paying Social Security on your income. And if you continue to get raises, you just always seem to be subject to it. Now, when people become higher earners, you do see that Social Security tax stop. And in 2017, it was at $127,200. So if someone made over that amount, then they're not paying into Social Security anymore on their wages over that amount. In 2018, it was $128,700. And in 2019, it's going up to $132,900. So those wage marks are going up. But that's why when they look at Social Security benefits that they calculate, it does get capped at some level. So if you make, you know, $1 million a year, you're not going to get more of a benefit than if you were making this, you know, $132,000 subject to the inflation for year after year after year. Okay. All right, folks. So we are talking about Social Security tonight. I saw that a question came in, but what I will do Joan from Bethlehem called in. I will take that question after this first break so that I have time to answer it. But if you have questions, you can call in. We are live tonight. We just can't take your call live on air, but you can give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down. And the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can also email questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. And we will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are talking about Social Security this evening and just kind of raising some awareness around it. We had a call come in from Joan, and if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. And Joan called and said her husband is 63. She is younger. Her children are 13 and 15. Does it make sense to collect Social Security earlier and on behalf of the children? She just learned of this. Yes, Joan. Well, I'm not sure it makes sense to collect or not, but you are correct that there is a children's benefit. There's a family benefit if one of the parents starts collecting Social Security. The children are eligible, but there is a family cap on it, which I don't know off the top of my head. But yes, your child could collect Social Security as well. Whether or not it makes sense to collect early, there's so many different factors to consider, Joan. Number one, is your husband still working? Because if your husband is still working, there's income limits before they would start taking some of the Social Security benefit away. So, for example, if you collect early before full retirement age, and you can collect as early as age 62, but if you are also working and you make over $17,040, Social Security will take back $1 for every $2 that you're over that threshold. So let's pretend your husband makes $27,000 a year and the income threshold was 17, you're 10,000 over. So if he were collecting Social Security, they would take back $5,000 of it. So, and if he's, you know, much over that, then he wouldn't even get the Social Security benefit. So when you say you're younger and your children are young, I would expect that your husband is still working at 63 and probably needs to continue to work help along with you probably support the family. If you're in a position where he does not have to work and you have enough other cash flow, you certainly might want to consider what the dollars would be that would be coming into the family for that child benefit. So that is something that you could check into. However, what happens when you collect early, you take a permanent haircut on that benefit. So by collecting, let me see if I can find this, because I know at 62, it's a 25% haircut. At 63, it's a 20% haircut on the primary insurance amount, the full retirement benefit. It's a 20% haircut. So, Joan, sometimes what you have to consider is if something were to happen to your husband and he's taken a permanent reduction in his benefit, then your, you know, and you ended up having a widow's benefit, there's a permanent reduction there. So you want to be careful about how early you collect, number one. Number two, what earnings your husband is already, if he's working, what earnings does he have? Because he may have to pay them back. If he's not working, then you can certainly go talk to Social Security and consider what kind of benefit he would be entitled to, and then what benefit would be available to the children. And the children would receive Social Security, again, subject to that family cap, up until age 18 or 19 if they're still in high school. Okay, so that was a good question, something to explore. But again, if he's working and making a lot of money over that threshold, might not matter. Then he wouldn't even get that Social Security. All right. So tonight we are talking about Social Security. If you have questions, the number is 610-758-8810. I mentioned that we earn Social Security credits by working and by paying Social Security tax into the system. We do that up to our a wage cap, which I mentioned for 2019 is, I believe, $132,900. And we start earning credits. What happens is part of that formula, that calculation, they're looking at the, so at 62 is when they do the real calculation. You can kind of estimate it prior to that, but at 62 is when they really do the real calculation, and they look at your highest 35 years. If there's years where you don't work, it's counted as zero. So that goes into that formula as well. So they're looking at the highest 35 years. If you didn't work 35 years, then those years of no earnings would count as zero. And it's a bit of a crazy formula, so I'm not going to go into that right now, but it's in working that you're earning that benefit. If you are a husband and wife, there are spousal benefits as well. And what would happen in an extreme example, and I'm going to use husband and wife. Husband works, husband has a work record, and let's say he's worked X number of years and earned a benefit of $2,000 a month, and wife never worked. Well, there is a spousal benefit such that when the husband goes to file for his benefit, the wife, depending on her age, could file for her spousal benefit, and I'm just going to ballpark this, might be approximately half that amount. And I'm using approximate numbers because it all depends. It all depends on how old the husband is when he's filing, how old the wife is when she's filing. So those are just approximate things. But there is a spousal benefit that even a non-working spouse could go on to collect. Occasionally what we might see is, and again, I'm going to use husband and wife just for easy verbiage here tonight. If the husband is continuing to work and wants to work until he's 70 and he loves working and he's working and working, and you have a spouse who is 62 and she wants her own money and she wants to file for Social Security, well, when you go to file, you don't get the spousal benefit if your spouse has not filed. So you only get the spousal benefit once the earning spouse files. So in that circumstance, the wife would only receive a benefit if she went and filed on her own work record and she actually had a work record. All right. So that's how that works. There are spousal benefits. I had a question come in from Glen Gardner, New Jersey. Her name's Sue. Hi, Sue. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate the questions. The question is, husband's pension is now being terminated and he must choose an annuity or a lump sum. There may be a spousal benefit. And they would like to know my thoughts regarding how they might proceed. Sue, generally what we would look at when we see a pension that's being terminated and you're choosing an annuity or a lump sum is we would go through a list of questions. We would ask you about your cash flow needs. We would ask you about your other assets available. We would ask you about your longevity, your health, survivor need for income, kind of maybe even spending habits. Do you have a problem with managing money? That type of thing. There are a number of factors that go into this decision that are very important that you should go through. The annuity, what happens with the annuity, with you want to see what kind of spousal benefit is there as well. Sometimes the other thing people worry about, credit of the person who the credit risk of the the option that's being available, that's being made available to you in this annuity fashion. I don't know if that's, you know, the pension company or if they're turning it over to some annuity company. Generally, what happens, though, is you can roll over the pension into a rollover IRA. That lump sum distribution doesn't have to all come out taxable. And if there is a lump sum distribution and you roll it over into an IRA, if you are already age 59 and a half and you have to tap that, you can tap that money, subject to income tax. If you don't need it, you can let it sit there and invest it and let it grow. So you do generally have a little bit more control over it when you roll it over into an IRA. Now, that might not make sense for someone who blows through all their money. Maybe you're not someone who could control access to a lump sum. Maybe you need to, feather it out over in some kind of an annuity. So I can't give you specific advice on that, but I hope that mentioning those factors for you to consider and going through kind of a checklist of, you know, what is our cash flow? What other assets do we have available? Are we good at controlling our money? The idea of a lump sum, when you roll that over to an IRA, there's sometimes a little bit more control on that. If you're disciplined people, it might give you some tax strategies, tax planning opportunities, Roth conversion opportunities, but it depends. Okay, so Sue, good luck with that, and it's it could be big, it could be small. I don't know what you're looking at there, but be careful before you make an irrevocable decision on what you're doing. Okay, folks, we're at our second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking about Social Security this evening. If you have questions, and I love the questions. I love listeners calling in. Questions always help me and help me know what subjects you're interested in hearing more about. So, for example, after Sue just called, I thought, I should do a show on, you know, pensions and lump sums. I have done that before. Sue, if you're still listening, I think I actually did talk about that. I don't know how long ago is the problem. And those podcasts are available at WDIY.org. You go to local programming, go down to Your Financial Choices, and you can scroll through pages of podcast, and you might be able to do a search on it. And also on Your Financial Choices, you might be able to do a search on it. If you search for pension, you might have one. I don't know if I would have called it that, not sure, but I think I did do a show on that before, choosing between a lump sum and a pension. So I might have more information on that. Pat from Bethlehem called, and the question is, two unmarried people collecting Social Security based on their own earnings, what is the effect if they get married, and what is the specific calculation? Pat, basically, if you were to get married, generally, if two people are married and you go to file for Social Security, Social Security is going to pay you the higher benefit these days, all right? So you guys are both collecting already. So generally, you get paid the higher benefit of your own record or the spousal benefit. My guess is if you guys were unmarried and were collecting Social Security on your own earnings, you both worked, and each of your own benefits might be the higher benefit. If you get married and then one of you passes away, the survivor steps into the higher benefit. And frankly, I don't think there's any years on that. I know if you go file on a divorced, you know, on an ex-spouse, you have to have been married, I think, at least 10 years. And then there's issues if you remarry in between. But I think two unmarried people collecting Social Security on their own records, if you get married and one spouse were to pass away, then you would fall into the higher benefit. But otherwise, I'm not sure you would, you probably could collect a spousal benefit if that was the higher benefit than your own benefit. All right. Now, what you'd have to be careful, Pat, of is let's pretend one of you are divorced, or maybe both of you are divorced. If something were to happen, I think you can file on your ex-spouse's record. If you don't remarry, if you remarry, then that option is gone. So you also want to be aware of any ex-spouse's benefit. If it's a higher benefit, if it sounds like a better benefit, that might be something you would want to explore before you run and get married to someone new, if that is your situation. All right. So basically, if you both have your own earning records, the Social Security is going to pay the higher benefit to you. All right. Hope that helps. Folks, questions, phone number 610-758-8810. I just pulled open this rules for divorce spouses. Let me see if this answers anything about what I just mentioned about divorce spouses. More than one ex-spouse can receive benefits on the same worker's record. Benefits paid to one ex-spouse do not affect those paid to the worker, the current spouse, or other ex-spouses. Divorce spouse benefits stop upon remarriage of spouse collecting benefits, not upon remarriage of the primary worker spouse. This is just the spouse collecting spouse. All right. So hopefully that answers that for divorced people as well. So spousal benefits, I mentioned. One of the key things I want to make sure I get to tonight, and I think I'll do this in the second half of the show, is when there is a spouse and you were age 62 by December 31st of 2015, which means you're going to be 66 in 2019. This is the big key part of the show I wanted to make sure I shared with everyone. Anybody turning 66 next year, if you had not already started collecting, and you're married, once you reach full retirement age, you are the last crop of people that can file a restricted application for your spousal benefit and allow your own benefit to increase. And I can talk more about that in the second half. It's a little complicated, so I want to make sure I take plenty of time to talk about it. But I just wanted to make sure that if people are listening tonight and want to learn more about Social Security, that is a big thing. That it's going to be a priority next year for anybody who is turning 66, who has not already started collecting. So let's talk about filing ages for a minute. So filing early at 62 has its own implications, as I mentioned earlier when someone had called in, that there is a 25% haircut if you start collecting at 62, meaning if you're full if you're what they call the primary insurance amount, the PIA, the primary insurance amount, if it is $2,000 at age 66, at full retirement age, and you say, hey, no, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to collect at 62, there is a 25% haircut. So from age 66 primary insurance amount of $2,000 and you start collecting at 62, you're looking at maybe $1,500 a month. Okay, so that could be a pretty big haircut. Bottom line, if you live to the exact life expectancy used in these calculations, generally you're going to be about a break even no matter when you collect. So if you collect early, you're collecting longer but a smaller amount. If you collect late, you're collecting fewer years but larger amounts. So the game is knowing what your life expectancy is. How many of us know our life expectancy? Well, not too many of us, but what we do is make estimates or assumptions about that based on our own health, our parents, our siblings, our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents, we kind of have an idea of what our life expectancy might be. And we take a best, you know, we gamble with that. So the idea is if we live longer than our life expectancy, then maybe we want to maximize our benefit. So we collect a higher amount for a longer period of time. So I'll talk more about that and those ages and what it means to you as we go through the rest of the show. I had a question come in from Ruth in Whitehall. Ruth, because I'm at the halfway point, I've got to take a break here, but you stay tuned and I'll answer your question as soon as we come back. Again, you're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. It's 6:30. Your current temperature is 35. On Thursday, you're going to have a snow and sleet, high near 31. Thursday night, snow, freezing rain, and sleet, low around 31. On Friday, a chance of rain, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 44. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 33. Saturday, leading into your weekend, mostly sunny with a high near 45. For Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 31. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 44. Now back to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shondi. Welcome back, folks. So Ruth's question, Ruth from Whitehall, her question was, husband started collecting at 62. Can she collect the spousal benefit when she turns 62, or should she wait until 66 and collect her own, or can you do both? Ruth, because your age, if you're not 62 yet, you actually don't get to do both. When you go to file for Social Security at whatever age, whether it's 62 or 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, up to age 70, no matter when you go to file, what will happen is they will pay you the higher of either your own benefit or your spousal benefit. Now, if your husband had not filed and you went to file, then they would only pay you your benefit. And then at such time he filed, then if the spousal benefit was higher, you could go get it. All right. But since he's already filed and now you go to file, they're going to pay you the higher of the two benefits. So then you say, you know, should you do that at 62 or should you wait until 66? Well, this is where you look at a number of factors. You look at your cash flow needs. You look at your longevity. You look at the longevity of both. If you're, you know, when there's a couple, you want to look at the longevity of both. Because if there's longevity in the family, recall I said that if someone passes away, the surviving spouse steps into the higher benefit. So sometimes we might have someone delay filing, you know, wait even till age 70 to earn those extra, you can really build up a high monthly benefit in Social Security by delaying to age 70. We might have a client do that so that they can provide a higher benefit for their surviving spouse if one spouse has, you know, longer longevity. It depends on each person's circumstances. If you file early though, Ruth, and you have a decent benefit, you've just taken a 25% haircut. If you have longevity in your family and you don't need the money right now, then by delaying or waiting until your full retirement age, you will collect a bigger benefit. And depending on what year you were born, your retirement age may not, your full retirement age may not be 66. It may be 66 in X number of months. For people who were born, let me see if I wrote that down. If you were born in 1960 or later, the full retirement age is 67. And the issue with that full retirement age is if you're working and you start collecting before full retirement age, you might have to pay back some of your Social Security if you're over those thresholds. if you wait to collect until your full retirement age and you want to keep working, you don't have to pay it back if you don't collect until full retirement age. So let's pretend you file at full retirement age and you're making $100,000 a year. Well, if I don't file for Social Security until full retirement age, I don't have to pay any of it back. So that's why you want to be careful about when you go to file yourself. All right. So, Ruth, I hope that helped. I hope it was clear enough, the question. We have Mario from Reading. He said, Dad's on disability. Mom's retiring soon. She's 63. Once Dad turns 66, will they reassess automatically? Mario, generally when someone's on disability, they're already receiving their, you know, primary insurance amount or some factor of that. So it's usually already, it doesn't have the same kind of haircut that people get on Social Security when they file early. So your dad probably already is getting, you said Dad is on disability. I assume you meant Social Security disability now that I'm looking at this. If he is on disability and not collecting Social Security, he might want to go file for Social Security because when you're disabled and deemed disabled through Social Security, you get a pretty good benefit. And generally, you're eligible for Medicare, I believe, as well. And if your mom is retiring at 63, she will have a haircut. Now, number one, if she goes in and files at 63, and has her own work record, she would file for her own benefit. They're going to pay her the higher of the two, either her own benefit or the spousal benefit, which is typically about half of the primary insurance amount that the worker was earning. So her own benefit may end up being higher than half the spousal, you know, than the spousal benefit. But if she collects at 63, she's also taking that haircut. So that's something, if you don't need the money, she could let that build up a little bit more. But she would be taking a haircut. All right, Mario, I hope that helps. But it's really important to kind of understand all the ramifications of collecting early. And again, I go back to, you have to consider your cash flow needs, your other assets available, and your life expectancy. So generally, if someone doesn't need the cash and they have a really long life expectancy, generally all the calculators would show you delaying to age 70 is going to give you the biggest benefit over time. But we can't always guess what our life expectancy is. And, you know, all right. And be careful, because Social Security, depending on what other income is on your return, some people might think that Social Security is not taxable, because back in the day it wasn't. Like way back in the day, Social Security wasn't taxable. Nowadays, Social Security is included in your taxable income depending on how much other income you have on your return. So if you have a big pension, you have required minimum distributions out of retirement accounts, then sometimes, depending on if you're single or married filing joint, you can run up your income such that up to 85% of your Social Security could be taxable. And some people aren't ready for that. They don't think about it. They don't have withholdings on their Social Security. Then they put it on their tax return and wham. So we also use those opportunities when people don't need the money from Social Security and they have longevity and they have assets available. We use those years, if they're not working, to implement other strategies, like using money from their retirement accounts instead to fund their cash flow instead of the Social Security. They defer the Social Security, build that up, use some of their money from their retirement accounts, either for cash flow or to do conversions to Roth IRAs. And in that way, we're kind of taking out some of the IRA money. And hopefully, if you're in your retirement years, you're in lower tax brackets, maybe convert it to a Roth IRA and now make that money tax-free, such that when you go to start collecting Social Security and taking the required minimum distributions, you've now lowered your asset value on your retirement account, which lowers your required minimum distribution. And then you might not have such a hit on your taxable Social Security. so many pieces, you guys, and I hope I didn't put everybody into a head spin with that one, but it's all part of the planning and strategies that are available. It's just, you know, amazing what you can do when you have opportunities to kind of pause on the Social Security or you know, implement other strategies. So let me see what else I wanted to cover here. So I was mentioning about collecting early at 62. 66 and or some months and or age 67 is the new full retirement age. People who are born 1960 or later, it's 67. You can delay collecting up until age 70. You're earning 8% premium a year by waiting till 70. Here's the thing. Don't forget to stop to file at age 70. So let's pretend you delay till age 70. There's no point in delaying any further because they're not going to increase your benefit anymore. So don't forget to file. If you do delay to age 70, do not forget to go file for your benefit. You want to make sure you do that. The other thing is, if you have done one of these spousal strategy methods, and now you've gone and you've collected on your own record, your spouse decided to delay, they delayed for X number of years, they go and they get their higher benefit because they delayed so long, they earn this great benefit, and you're still collecting your spousal benefit, you're still collecting your own work record benefit. So let's pretend I never worked that much, I didn't make that much money, my benefit's $400 a month, I started collecting when I was 62, my spouse is still working, they're delaying to age 70. Once they start collecting, now my spousal benefit might be higher. Now I have to remember to go in and file for my spousal benefit. All right? So when you're collecting at different times, you got to just be careful and kind of follow up and watch on that. That's how I think some people got in trouble. Social Security wasn't notifying people that they actually would have received a higher benefit by filing for the spousal benefit at some point. And that brought some awareness to that as well. So here's the big story again for the people who are going to be 66 next year. In the old days, pre-December 31st, 2015, there was a strategy people used called file and suspend, meaning one spouse is still working, they want to keep working, their stay-at-home spouse, you know, was not working, didn't have their own work record, or even did, but it's a small amount. What the working spouse could do is they could go file for their benefit at Social Security and suspend it. Say, I'm filing, but I don't want it. I'm going to suspend it. And then they let their own benefit grow and grow and grow. But by filing, now their non-working spouse could go file for their spousal benefit. You see, because I told you, you can only file for a spousal benefit when the working spouse files. That's how I have to define these different characters. So it was like a little loophole. They closed that. They didn't want that to happen. They wanted people to file on their own record, kind of a thing. But they gave us like a little band-aid, a bridge for some people. And what they said is for anybody who is age 62 on December 31st of 2015, which are people turning 66 in 2019, that whole group of people, they said, you know what? You can still file a restricted application and you could let your own record continue to grow. So you only get that choice when you're full retirement age. So all of these people who were born, I guess that was 1953, all these people who were born in 1953, if you collected before this, you still had some of those restricted applications available. But I'm talking about the people who are turning full retirement age in 2019. You still have the option to file a restricted application, which means if your spouse is collecting, you can say, I restrict my Social Security application to my spousal benefit. I'm going to collect my spousal benefit and take that half of my spouse's benefit, because my benefit is going to be higher if I let it continue to grow. You have to run numbers. You have to look at this. You've got to see if it applies to you. But kind of what I'm talking about is, let's pretend there was my spouse is older than me, 3 years older than me, and he filed at 66. He's now 69. He's been collecting $3,000 a month. And now I'm 66. My own benefit, and I'm making these numbers up, my own benefit is $2,000. But I'd like to let my own benefit grow to age 70. And I can grow it at 8% a year, and that's a great benefit. My $2,000 is going to grow and grow. My husband's got $3,000. But if I had the opportunity to get a spousal benefit, my spousal benefit, let's say it's 50% of my husband's, $1,500. That's not too far off my own benefit, is it? But I can restrict my application, say, give me my spousal benefit of $1,500 a month, and I'm going to let my own benefit grow until I'm age 70. And at age 70, it's 2,000 times, 8% times 4 years. I'm going to get a really great benefit. At age 70, I'll switch to my own record then. That's called a restricted application. People who are turning 66 next year who have not already filed, if your spouse has filed, you may be eligible to file for that spousal benefit. It's called a restricted application. There's not too many people who have that available left to them. And I don't want you to miss it if you are one of those people. Folks, we are talking about Social Security. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call in and give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and she'll bring it in to me, and I'll do the best to answer. And email is also available at 610-7—email is also available through yourfinancialchoices.com. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
The many choices and real voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit WDIY.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. And Pat had called earlier about two unmarried people collecting Social Security based on their own earnings and then what happens if they get married. And I thought, gosh, is there a rule about being married X number of, time? I wasn't sure. And I just happened to find this, Pat, as I was looking through some of this material I have in front of me. Rules for survivor benefits. Couples must have been married at least 9 months at date of death, except in the case of an accident. So if you are going to get married, Pat, and you're married at least 9 months, and let's pretend the spousal benefit is higher than your own benefit, then you could switch to the spousal benefit. So couples must have been married at least 9 months. Oh, this was at date of death for survivor benefit. Sorry, I'm talking about a survivor benefit. I apologize. All right. So much information. It's overwhelming. So I hope that I was able to cover some of the big pieces that I wanted tonight about the different ages and collecting. Remember, if you collect early and you continue to work, there's income thresholds. If you earn more than the threshold, which is for 2018, I think it's $17,040. You have to pay back $1 for every two. If you turn full retirement age and are continuing to work, let's say you decide to file for Social Security on January 1st in the year of full retirement, and you're collecting Social Security January, February, March, April, and you don't turn full retirement age until May. Well, then you also might have to pay back some benefits, but the threshold is very different in the year of full retirement age. The threshold is $45,360, and you have to pay back $1 for every $3 over that threshold. But again, if you wait to file until your full retirement age, you do not have to pay back any of the money. So I think it's a rare circumstance where someone might file for Social Security in the year of full retirement age, but before full retirement age, maybe you lose your job and you're 65. and you lose your job, so you file for Social Security. But then you find another job by July, and now you're full retirement age, but you were collecting all those years, but months, but you were over the threshold. That's where I would see that circumstance generally happening. So full retirement age, there's no haircut. Waiting till age 70, there's an 8% premium a year. But after age 70, there's no further premium. So you definitely want to file if you've already reached age 70. Recall, if you had not filed and your spouse had already, when you now go to file, you want to make sure that your spouse is collecting the greatest benefit available to them, whether it's the spousal benefit or their own work record. You need to review that. So once the second spouse goes to file, you want to make sure everyone's collecting the benefits that they're supposed to. And understanding that when you're looking at the strategies for filing for your Social Security benefits, those people who are turning age 66 in 2019 have more options available to them than people who were born after 1953. So people who were born 1954 or after do not have the same options as those people who were born in 1953 or before. So it's a little bit more limited. So what happens is then when you go in to file, they're going to pay you the higher of whichever benefit is available to you. When you go into file, if your spouse, if you're married and your spouse has not filed yet, the only benefit available to you is your own benefit. Understand? So then if 3 years later your spouse files, that's when you have to go back to Social Security and say, hey, I've been collecting on my own record for the past, 3 years, and now my spouse has filed, and I think my spousal benefit's higher. Social Security will switch you over to that. I also want to mention that there is an extra benefit available to widows. As we mentioned earlier, there's family caps as well. So widows, especially those who are taking care of children under a certain age, might have a benefit. But otherwise, if your age, if you're both receiving, let me read this because it's easier. If you are both receiving Social Security when your spouse dies, this deceased spouse's benefit will stop, and then you can switch over to your survivor benefit if it is higher. But something else to know is if you are a survivor and you're 60 or older, you can be entitled to the widow benefit. So let's say it was your only source of income, your spouse, they passed away, you're 60, you're not eligible for Social Security, but wait, you're a widow, age 60, you can file, but there is a haircut on your benefit. So that's the other thing. You have to be careful about how long this money needs to last, because you don't want to take your benefit too early if you have longevity and you might need that money. Real quick, because cost of living, sometimes that cost of living adjustment doesn't keep up with inflation. And they did just announce recently, this was October 16th, that the 2019 cost of living adjustment, the COLA adjustment, is 2.8%. And those increased benefits will begin January 2019. They also increased the maximum wages, which I mentioned, which in 2019 is $132,900. After we go over that amount, they stop collecting that 6.2% Social Security amount. So 2.8. The other thing to keep in mind with that is, yes, your Social Security monthly benefit increases, but generally the Medicare premiums, which are coming out of your Social Security, sometimes go up as well. And I didn't see if those were increasing or not. Another note on that is for people who are over certain income thresholds on their tax return, there's something called the IRMA adjustment, the income related monthly something related adjustment. If your income is over certain thresholds, whether you're single or married filing joint, you might be paying more in your Medicare premiums. So that's another reason why you try to implement certain income tax planning strategies when you can, when you're younger, when you're earlier, to kind of manage how much income is going to be on your tax return to see if you can avoid paying some of those extra premiums. But occasionally what will happen is they'll have the cost of living adjustment on the Social Security, and it just kind of covers how much the Medicare premiums have gone up. But I didn't get to see how much how those were adjusting yet. I don't know if they've announced it, so be aware of that. Another alert that Social Security put out, they issued a warning in October about an ongoing Office of the Inspector General impersonation scheme. The scheme echoes a pattern where thieves pretend to be from government agencies, like those involving scammers posing as callers from the IRS. The reports indicate that the caller identifies a name as Gail Stone and states the person's Social Security number is at risk of being deactivated or deleted. The caller then asks the person to call a provided phone number to resolve the issue. Citizens should be aware that the scheme's details may vary. However, they should avoid engaging with the caller or calling the number provided. So nowadays, basically, you just only talk to people you actually know. don't take calls from people you don't know. Be very, very careful. So be aware that there are could be Social Security schemes out there, just as there were for IRS and tax returns. So be careful about that. Oh, I also wanted to mention something we learned recently, which I had not been aware of, and this was really an eye-opener to me. There's something that people can do. If you started collecting Social Security, similar to my story earlier where I said someone maybe lost their job and they weren't working, so they filed for Social Security and then they got a job again. Well, if you change your mind about Social Security, you can only do that once, and you have to pay back any benefits that you were receiving or that you received. Okay, you have to pay them back. And then your Social Security would continue to, you know, earn extra benefits and grow, et cetera, et cetera. So they do let you change your mind one time. Granted, if you make way, way over those threshold amounts, it kind of takes care of itself, I would suspect. But here's something we didn't know. Let's pretend you're already full retirement age. You're 66 and you decided to start collecting Social Security and you collected it for 2 years till age 68. I'm just making up these ages. And then all of a sudden you had this huge opportunity, consulting, working, whatever it might be, and you didn't really need the income from Social Security. In that case, once you've reached full retirement age, you actually can stop collecting. You do not have to pay it back. You can just say, hey, I'm suspending my Social Security. I'm full retirement age. I'm suspending my benefit. Because I'm working now, you don't even have to be working. But then your benefit will continue to accrue that extra benefit, that premium that you get by waiting. So that's something I had not realized, that if you are full retirement age, you can suspend your benefit and continue to accrue additional benefits without having to pay back the prior amount. Now, if you're under full retirement age, let me reiterate, if you're under full retirement age, started collecting, change your mind. You're only allowed to do that once. You have to do it within 1 year, and you have to pay it all back, whatever you collected. And if you were filing and a spouse was collecting on your record, they would have to pay it back too. So watch out for that. Folks, this is a kind of a lot to cover. I hope it wasn't too complicated. My goal really is to kind of bring awareness that we should be thinking about our claiming strategies on Social Security. We should be thinking about our cash flow options. We should think about how it coordinates with our other financial planning as we move into retirement years and different tax brackets, different filing statuses, required minimum distributions from our IRAs, that it's a lot to coordinate. There are some really simple cases. If you don't have any retirement accounts, you don't have any assets, and you need Social Security, that's when we're talking about cash flow needs. If you know you're someone who's not healthy, you don't have a long life expectancy, get the money while you can. That sometimes is much easier as well. But we are living longer and longer. And as we move toward that dynamic, that new element in our lives, that we're living longer and longer, we have to make sure that we're going to have enough money in those, you know, retirement years, those years into maybe the late 80s, the 90s. And how do we do that? If we can kind of maximize some of our strategies, We want to do that. People worry, is Social Security going to be around? Well, we know it's funded. It's $2 some trillion is funded definitely through 2034. If they do nothing, it's funded for people with the benefits through 2034. After 2034, it's good for another 75 years if they limit the benefits, I think, to about 75%. But that's without them doing anything to the system. So generally, we're going to see them raising the ages again or having people pay more into Social Security, maybe in their working years. So, you know, they're gonna take care of the system. I hope. I'm a Pollyanna and I look positively in things, and hopefully they will. But I think you can count on it being available at least through 2034. That's right around the corner, I suppose. But again, another 75 years after that with just a little tweaking. Next week is Thanksgiving week, so we will have a pre-recorded show, and I will be back the week after, and we will be looking at the market in review, the prior year, the past year, what happened in the market, what can we look forward to. We'll have guests Connor Darrell and Tim Roof from Valley National come on and talk to us about the market and the economy. I want to thank Lori for taking all those calls tonight. She's having to run back and forth. Shondi, thanks for being here as well. Listeners, thank you so much. I love the questions. It was a great show. I really appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.